Utah won 25-97 for their 21st win in 24 games. Celtics guard Marcus Smart, who dished out a career-high 13 assists, says they can't let down.
We're playing really good. We're in a good rhythm. We can easily fall into a lull, into that little trap.
Philadelphia beat the Lakers 126-121, while Miami was losing to Golden State 118-104. That means the 76ers, Celtics, and Bucks are all 1.5 games behind the Eastern Conference leading Heat. Western Conference frontrunner Phoenix beat Minnesota 125-116. It was Memphis 132, Brooklyn 120. Other winners, Detroit, New York, Sacramento, Oklahoma City, Dallas, and San Antonio. In the NHL, Buffalo was a shootout for Pittsburgh 4-3, snapping the Penguins' 3-game winning streak. Pittsburgh forward Brian Rust.
Guys not quite on the same page, and we found a way to be in a game that we weren't at our best, which is good.
Despite the loss, the Pens moved within 2 points the division-leading Hurricanes. Vancouver beat league points leader Colorado 3-1. It was Toronto 3, New Jersey 2, and Dylan Strome scored the go-ahead goal with 3:50 remaining, and Chicago beat Anaheim 4-2. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Voss.
Our K-Wolf forecast calling for fair to partly cloudy skies through Sunday night. From Monday through Thursday, chance of rain and snow turning cooler. Look for the high today to be 66 for Pagosa Springs, low tonight 31. High 66 Friday, 69 Saturday, 69 Sunday, and 64 on Monday. I'm meteorologist Jim Wirshborn on K-Wolf.
Your future begins today with RG Bank. Looking for a personal checking or savings account? We can help. Do you need to invest the kids' birthday money in a CD? We can help. Need a bank to handle your farm or business checking account? We can help. Whatever your deposit needs are, RG Bank can help. Call or stop in to RG Bank in Pagosa Springs today and let RG Bank help you.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
RG Bank can help with deposits right there on Piedra Road, just north of Highway 160, on your way over to Wings. RG Bank brings us our news, weather, and sports, and we're going to talk about early childhood development this morning with Rebecca Gartman. And Rebecca, good morning, Becca.
Hi.
How are you today? You've been here
doing well.
quite a bit, and you're back. That's great. Happy spring.
Yes, thank goodness for spring. We are ready. Definitely ready for warmer weather and stick those kids outside and let them just play.
Yeah, how are they doing over there?
Yeah, we're doing really well. We are fully enrolled now. We have a couple slots for our youngest classroom, our WOBs, our 1-2s. And we are hiring for a wobbler teacher. We've got one of our wobbler teachers leaving on maternity leave this summer. So we're looking to find another wobbler teacher. So if you're interested, let us know.
how do they contact you then?
Yes, our phone number is 970-731-2868. Or you can just send me an email directly to director@wingsearlychildhood.org. All this information's online too. If you just Google Wings, you'll find our website one way or another.
Yeah, pretty handy there. I'm going to try that right now.
Yes.
So you've got some 21st century learners there, and you're teaching these kids in special ways there in a great location, new school.
Yeah, so I wanted to use today to talk about how we teach 21st century learners. Now, that is a very big question. How do we do that? That's a day-old question now.
the world's changing so fast.
And so how do we teach 21st century learners? And honestly, it's simpler than we think it is. And it's all going to start in those early stages, the 0 to 5 years of age, is really when the learning begins, and that is where we start to teach children several different developmental skills, how to work together, how to be alive, essentially. What are they capable of doing? How do I fit into the world? How do I learn language? Many things, and so how do we now prepare kids for a future that is unknown, for jobs that are not in existence yet? How do we do that? Seems almost impossible, but really it's simple. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about academic skills and this ever constant push to have children learn all of these academic skills that they are just not developmentally prepared for. And as a country where we're constantly in competition to strive for more knowledge and be the top at everything, and with that we are pushing these academic skills lower and lower and lower down the pipeline to children that are just not ready. Not ready. And a lot of preschools have all of these high standards for children, you know, 3 to 5, to be able to know how to read to an extent, how to write, how to identify the letters in the alphabet, how to know their numbers. And we're fitting them all into this small box that we've created, which is completely diminishing their imagination and their individuality and their creativity, when really we should be focusing so much more on their social and emotional developmental skills. 'Cause in the 21st century, we're expecting all of these young adults to be able to regulate their emotions, work together in groups, have civil debates. That's something that's really hard for us as a country, having civil debates. And to be able to problem solve. And so how do we start all of that early on? Well, in our school and a lot of nature-based facilities and a lot of preschools, especially here in Pagosa, are really, really good about understanding that kids first need to feel comfortable, safe, loved, before we can even start any kind of learning process. So a lot of what we focus on is allowing kids to play, to discover things on their own. We really want them to have the freedom to explore their world. Instead of drilling all of these unnecessary skills into them, we would rather them just openly discover, because to create children and young adults who can regulate their emotions, who can work together, we first have to start by asking them lots of questions. That can be, you know, many different things. We can be outside playing and simply ask them to find something squishy, find something hard, find something, I don't know, long, like a stick, and then asking them what they see about it, what they observe about it, how they experience it, what can we use it for? Because if we're creating, if we are trying to encourage children to grow up, to work jobs that we don't even know exist yet, we need to create children who can just use their imagination and creation and be able to ask questions. Well, what is this thing, and how do we do this task, and how can we make this better? Because in turn, we're trying to make people who can work with each other in the world and make the world a better place. I mean, that's what we're all striving for, is a better world. And so a lot of what we can do as caregivers and as parents is make sure your child is taken care of. As parents, something as small as being clean, taking a bath, can have a huge, huge difference in the child's learning. They're going to feel a lot more confident in the world.
Sure.
They're clean, they are, you know, dressed in clean clothes. Parents, you can read your children books at night, make sure that they feel heard. A lot of the time, people feel like they don't have time. I'm too busy. I can't, you know, always sit and have a conversation with my child. And there are times where that is true. We don't always have the time, but it's so important to connect with your child and have positive interactions. And something as simple as reading a story builds so many skills. It's building social skills where they are trusting another person, they feel comfortable with another person. They're learning about text and comprehension, and there are those academic skills that are being presented, just not drilled.
Right.
We don't want to drill these skills into them. We want them to openly explore them, and we will be there to support them. So a lot of what parents can do is just make sure their children are taken care of. And that's a big thing, of course.
Yeah.
But taking a bath, reading a story, asking them, you know, what do you want to do today? What'd you do at school today, if they go to school? What did you find outside today? Let's talk about that. Let's have a conversation about it. And really, truly engage with your child, because that is building so many more skills than we're aware of. And as teachers, we develop these safe spaces for children to come every day who maybe don't have the best opportunities in their home lives. So we build these warm, safe environments at school that are also clean, friendly. Teachers are very loving. And we're building these relationships with these children so that they feel trusted, that they can trust us in turn, and then we can really begin that learning process. And so a lot of what we can do to increase these 21st century learners, to teach these 21st century learners,
right,
is to let them play. Play is a very, very big way of learning, especially for those early ages. And you might be, you know, driving on your way to work, or you might be at home this morning thinking, well, how am I going to teach my one-year-old how to be a 21st century learner? That seems almost impossible. But really, you know, one-year-olds, two-year-olds, three, four, five-year-olds are so capable of just openly exploring with the support of an adult. So an example of what a one-year-old might do in this stage, at least what our one-year-olds are doing at Wings,
yep,
they are so intrigued by fine motor activities, uh-huh, pulling ribbons out of, you know, cardboard boxes, mm-hmm, dumping. Gosh, kids love to dump toys and then try and figure out what to do with the toys. And right now our WOBs are so intrigued by dumping toys and just sticking them back in the container.
Really?
And doing that over and over and over again. And you may think, ugh, they're not learning anything from this. They're just dumping toys and sticking them back in a container. Oh, they are doing so much more than that.
Yeah, they're observing those toys.
Exactly. They're figuring out,
and all that. Yeah.
Right. They're figuring out, what do I do with this? This is very interesting to me that I can dump these out, put them back in, dump them out again. And as adults, we can, you know, we can support their learning and their exploration with lots and lots and lots of language. They are dumping a toy, so you might say, wow, you dumped all of these toys everywhere. What are you going to do with them now? Are we going to put them in our mouth? Are we going to roll them to each other? Are we going to put them back in? What are you going to do with them? And some kids, they might pick them up and they might throw them. You say, oh, wow, you threw that toy. Now you can get up and go get that toy. And now what are you going to do with it? And they will sit and play with something like that for so long, because they're increasing their discovery of what can I do with this toy? What is this toy's purpose? And through that, we are building language around it. Wow, you picked up a purple coin and you put it back in the container. Now what are you going to do? That was kind of cool. And so with a one-year-old, you're just, a lot of it is language building. You're just talking to them. Because we do want to, in turn, ask many questions. And we can still ask a one-year-old question without the expectation of them answering. We can say, what are you doing with this toy?
Yeah.
Exactly. Give them the opportunity to think about it, to hear the language. Oh, I see. You're eating a carrot. Is it yummy? Is it yucky? And for a one-year-old, that's huge, because they're just figuring out how they fit in the world and what they're capable of doing.
What about toddlers?
And toddlers, thank you. I was about to talk about toddlers.
Yeah. 2 to 3 year olds.
Our 2 to 3 year olds. Let's see. Our Todds. Well, let's see here. Todds are an animal of their own,
yeah.
Definitely. But our toddlers right now are very interested in how to work together. A lot of them, you might see a toddler throwing a lot of tantrums because they may not have the verbal communication skills quite yet, but they're also just figuring out, how do I fit in here also? How do I work with this child? A lot of the times what we see is children playing with these toys openly, just figuring out how to do it. And one kid comes up and takes it away, and it's a very upsetting moment for everyone involved. And really, instead of saying, oh, well, you need to share, and you stop doing that, I'll take that away, and we'll put it away, and you just play with this toy. You know, instead of having that reaction, we in turn want to say, oh, you know, Tommy, you took this toy, and it made your friend really upset. Let's see what else we can do. Let's see if your friend can say, can I have that back, please? I'm still playing with that, you know. Building that language, but also building that
social
skill of being able to say, hey, what the heck, you upset me. I was not done with that. I would like that back, please. And that is also being able to solve a problem. We want kids to be able to use language to acknowledge their feelings and solve a problem. I know so many adults that cannot regulate their emotions and cannot solve problems.
Right.
And we want to change that.
Exactly.
We want to grow these children to be able to say, hey, I am feeling really mad right now. What am I going to do about it? Do I need to go be alone for a while? Do I need to talk to somebody about it? We want them to recognize those feelings, acknowledge them, and figure out what to do about it. And our Todds are a great start to that, because they are presenting all of those initial social development skills of, wow, I did this thing, I took it away, I'm very mad about it now. And as an adult, we step in to be a mediator and say, this really hurt your friend's feelings. Look, they're crying, they're upset.
Starting to
how can
see that they have emotions. And
exactly.
Like that, yeah.
And how to deal with them, and to let another child see that perspective and see that they have made somebody upset. And what are they going to do about it? Are they going to give them a hug? Are they going to give the toy back? There are a lot of different things they can do. But every stage is going to look completely different, from your infants to, unfortunately, we don't have infants, but we hope to our one-year-olds, two-year-olds, and then our 3 to 5 year olds.
Yeah.
Our preschool, it's going to look very different, because they're going to be a lot more advanced verbally, communicatively.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a 3 to 5 year old, it's going to be a lot of asking questions. How are we going to make this toy work? Is it broken? How are we going to fix it? How can we build something? And just the other day, I was helping a child. Our preschoolers love to play with the Magna tiles. You can use them to build, you know, lots of different things. And I came over and I said, "Oh, what are you building?" And he said, "I'm building a house." "Oh, okay. What is your house going to look like?" "Well, it has walls." And what he was doing, he was building just a wall.
Oh.
And so it kept falling over, and he said,
no,
"It keeps
support.
Falling over."
Oh, right.
I said, "Well,
okay.
What are you going to do about it? How are you going to make it stand?" And, you know, he fiddled with it for a while. He was getting really frustrated. He said, "I can't get it to stand." And I said, "Well, that's okay. Let's try a few different things." And I think as adults, we are too used to fixing the problems for our children instead of letting them fail. And letting them get frustrated and letting them try and solve it on their own. Because it's so much easier to just say, "Oh, well, this is how you do it."
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Right.
It's done. Here you go.
Done, right.
Instead, it's so much more valuable to say, "Well, how are you going to do it? What does your house need to be able to stand up instead of just fall over?" And letting them kind of fiddle with it for a while. And they might get frustrated. That's okay. It's okay for your child to be frustrated and to not solve a problem right away. And it's definitely appropriate for us as adults to say, "Would you like my help with that?" And if they want your help, they'll say yes. If not, they'll continue to persist and continue to fail. And we want them to do that. We want them to solve it on their own or ask for help if they need it. And help from an adult is not going to be just solving the problem for them right away.
No.
It's going to be, "Well, what if we put this block here? Do you think it would stand if we did it here?"
Mm-hmm.
"Okay, let's try it. Oh, look at that. It's
right.
standing." Or maybe we also fail and we say, "Oh, nope, that didn't work. Let's try something different." Because that is increasing their ability to think outside of the box, to fail, which is very important as a human,
right.
to be able to
learn
be
how
okay,
to deal with that.
Exactly,
yeah.
Learn how to deal with failure and how to be okay with it and to persist and keep trying. And these skills are so important in creating children who can persist, problem solve, work together. You may even ask the child if they want help and say, "Hey, Timmy, your friend, could he help you?"
Right.
Get another child involved and for them to work together. That is so valuable and so powerful. And so I'll leave everybody with this of how we teach 21st century learners.
Uh-huh.
Let children play and discover. And use yourself as their guide, asking them questions. How can we do this? What are you doing? Why are you doing this thing? Why does this happen? How can we make this better? Or how can we change this? Be a support system for them. Do not be the answer for them. Be a support for them. And allow children to just play and explore. That's what I've got.
That is pretty simple, isn't it?
It's as simple as letting kids play.
All right. Well, we're speaking this morning with Becca Gartman, who's the executive director at WingsEarlyChildhood.org.
Yep.
At Wings Early Childhood Center, which is up Piedra Road there on the right near the airport, old greenhouse restaurant building.
Yes.
That's so cool. Boy, that's just very cool. So you guys serve Pagosa and Archuleta County with this high-quality early childhood care from 1 to 5-year-olds.
Yes.
In 3 different classrooms and promote that learning through play and natural discovery, like you're
exactly
saying. That's
and we're
fantastic.
Very, very excited for spring and summer because our kids are.
To get outside.
Oh, yeah. Our kids are outside pretty much all day except for maybe nap time.
Yeah.
They'll come in and have a nap and go right back outside, have
so
a snack. And
21st century learners take naps too.
Oh yes, that's also very, very important, is
yeah,
to be able
rest.
To shut the brain down.
Good.
But again, we are fully enrolled in our TODS
wow,
and our preschool.
Fantastic.
We do have, yes, we do have a few openings for our one-year-old classroom, our WOBS. So if you have a one-year-old and everything of what I said sounds good to you, bring them on over. We have room. And we are hiring for a wobbler teacher because we've got our pregnant teacher leaving us for a few months, and then she'll come back. But, yeah.
Wow. Cool. Well, thank you so much for dropping by and, you know, like enlightening us here regarding early childhood development at Wings.
Yeah, thank you so much,
that's
Will.
Great. Okay. And that's our fourth Thursday show in March. And wishing everyone a great day today. Thanks for tuning in to Good Morning Pagosa, brought to you by the Home Builders Association of Southwest Colorado. We'll see y'all later. Bye.
Our KWOL forecast calling for fair to partly cloudy skies through Sunday night. From Monday through Thursday, chance of rain and snow turning cooler. Look for the high today to be 66 for Pagosa Springs, low tonight 31. High 66 Friday, 69 Saturday, 69 Sunday, and 64 on Monday. I'm meteorologist Jim Worsborn on KWOLF.
Advertise your business in the newest magazine by the Home Builders Association of Southwest Colorado. Introduce your business and flaunt your projects to potential Southwest Colorado residents before they move to our region. With portfolio-style advertising in this coffee table book modeled publication, Dream Homes, Building in Southwest Colorado. With 60,000 printed copies distributed to highly targeted locations nationally, and even more digitally, your extended marketing reach is guaranteed to make an impression. Join Dream Homes, Building in Southwest Colorado. Call 382-0080. To book your space today.
1400 AM
and 102.5 FM.
The Wolf, what we can do for you.
Right there's a high school where we met. We sneak up back for a couple kisses and a cigarette. And that parking lot was our first date. And her mama slammed the door when I dropped her off too late.
It's time for the Daybreak Market Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Northland, and today we see that the cash cattle market saw trade develop in both the north and south yesterday for only steady money, which comes as disappointing news to bull spreaders and feedlot owners. With feedlots having very little time left to push prices higher ahead of the glut of cattle coming in the early part of May, each and every week plays a vital role in pushing prices higher before packers really take full control of prices this summer. Southern live cattle traded for 138, fully steady with last week, while northern dress deals anywhere from 221 to 223. In the futures, June live cattle closed up 27 cents yesterday at 135.97. August contracts up 22 cents at 137.15. Despite higher grain prices Wednesday, feeder cattle contracts in May were up 37 cents at 165.80. August contracts up 30 cents at 179.15. Box beef prices were also higher. The choice cuts of $1.63 at 261.60. Out across the countryside, La Junta, Colorado, at the Livestock Commission, mostly slaughter cows, seeing a price of $74 to $85 yesterday. Public auction yards, Billings, Montana, also mostly slaughter cows going through the ring, selling steady at $71 to $88. At Torrington Livestock in Wyoming, the steer and heifer trade was steady, with 5 to 6 weight steers, 189 to 211.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association is the definitive voice of cattle producers in our nation's capital. NCBA is working on behalf of its members to protect your operation from government overreach and rising taxes. But the cattle business is under pressure, and we need every producer to join us to protect our way of life. Join NCBA today and help us protect the future of your farm or ranch. Visit NCBA.org or call 866-233-3872 for more information.
The Larson Ranch breeds sound, balanced Black Angus bulls with carcass quality that produce replacement heifers worthy of building your herd on. Join them Monday, March 28th for their 48th annual bull sale at the ranch near Forsyth, Montana. Selling 130 performance yearling bulls, many suitable for heifers, with a strong set of renowned AI sires and top herd desires from the Larson Ranch program. For more info, visit them online at LarsonRanch.com. Remember the sale date, March 28th, for the Larson Ranch Angus bull sale. To Fort Collins we go, to the Centennial Livestock Sheep and Goat Auction yesterday. The slaughter ewe market was $15 to $30 lower, with prices of $115 to $165 a head. In a typical volatile fashion, wheat markets rose sharply higher early Wednesday morning in the face of Paris milling wheat strength, only to falter at mid-session, closing lower. Wheat has been a disappointment on the export front despite all the activity in Ukraine, as wheat sales remain sharply lower below both last year and USDA's expectations. The trend in the overnight trade and on into this morning's trade, still lower in the wheat sector. July spring wheat down 6 cents at 10.78, September off by 3 cents at 10.61. July KC winter wheat down 7 cents at 10.97 on this Thursday. September lower at 10.80. Chicago July wheat's down 8 cents at $10.83. May corn down 7 cents currently at $7.50, while 12 Pro hard red winter wheat in Portland down a nickel at $12.09. 14 Pro dark northern spring wheat down a nickel to 6 cents yesterday at $11.51. I'm Lane Northland, Western Ag Network.
By the 5 o'clock hour, but I'm ready to raise some hell. who happens to be the mascot of Ski and Borak, and who actually hit the slopes today. How'd that go, Uller?
Oh.
Wait, you crashed? The Norse god of skiing crashed? How many trees did you take out? 16. Wow. Couldn't see the bumps, huh? You could head to Ski and Borak for a pair of Oakley goggles with prism lenses to help with that flat light. Yeah, seems that Oakley and Ski and Borak are making the invisible visible. Join me next time on Making All Things Great. Uller, is that a branch sticking out of your thigh?
Hello, K-Wolf listeners.
Wolf Creek is extending 7-day-a-week operations through Sunday, April 17th. The Metal Loop and Lake Spur the Nordic tracks were groomed and track set on March 22nd. Come out and say hi to Smokey today here at Wolf Creek.
What makes Jan C. Pitcher Real Estate stand out from other firms in Pagosa Springs? Our team of hometown brokers who know and love Pagosa Springs. Hi, I'm longtime local Ivy King. Friendly and approachable, I serve my customers with humor and efficiency. Call me today at 731-4065 for a locals tour of the area as you search for your dream home. Stop by Jan C. Pitcher Real Estate, located halfway up Putt Hill, to meet our personal, professional, and local team of brokers.
This is the Colorado Avalanche Information Center with the update on current avalanche.